but is there hope for this marriage? See, we've been talking about the spirit of despair, like coming after the spirit of despair, like aggressively. We can't just be patient and passive with the spirit of despair. So we were talking about, is there hope for this marriage? And that question comes up
a lot.
A lot, a lot.
I mean, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And you know,
a lot.
Yeah, because they ask the question, is it hope? Because the majority of the time that I hear it, mm-hmm. is because it, you know what comes next? Well, how long?
Well, okay.
I mean, that's the next question. It's like, is this hopeful? I mean, how long? I mean, how long? How long am I have to do this for my hope or I'm hoping that this is going to be all right, or this is going to make it, this is going to last, this is going to be restored. I'm hoping for it, but how long do I have to hope for it?
Or I hear, I don't have any hope anymore. Like, I had hope, but what about the other person? Mm-hmm. Like, if I hope, then the other person may not have the same as I do.
Right.
So we hear those kinds of things a lot between mentoring, coaching, all of that. We hear that a lot. And here's the answer, or one of the answers, because there is always multiple answers to anything. But is there hope for your marriage? Hope for your marriage is up to the individual person. Really is, because hope is not something we can put on anybody else. And hope is intentional. So if we're going to bulldoze, I love someone wrote that. We got bulldoze the spirit of despair. Thank you, Natasha. Bulldoze the spirit of despair because we intentionally do something that invites God in. Or we intentionally do something that gives us power and authority. We intentionally do something. So asking the question, is there hope? Really, when you think about it, should really be a statement. There is hope, because if I bring hope, hope is there. Because
so you go from a question to a statement.
And we learned about that at our last prayer and impartation gathering. We have to be able to realize what hope really is, what faith really is, what the word really is. Like, what power do we have? We bring intentional hope to anything we decide to bring intentional hope to. So it actually empowers us, because what the enemy tries to do is have us focus on, well, if the other person isn't doing this, or if the other person isn't doing that, or if the other person hasn't found me yet, or if I'm not married yet, all of these things, then we start to lose hope. And your reason why we start to lose hope is because we don't have any control of the other person. But we do have control over ourselves. So if we have control over ourselves, then we can increase our own hope.
And if you have control over somebody else, that's witchcraft.
There you go. And we don't want that.
And so the only thing that you can literally control is yourself in the equation. You're the only thing that you can control. You're the only, and God is always looking at us to see that if we will bring hope, our life, our walk, our salvation, our lifestyle will bring hope to a darkened world, to a darkened place. So if I'm walking in light, if I'm focusing on myself and making sure that I'm bringing hope to someone else.
Okay.
So hope can look like forgiveness. Hope can have righteousness. Hope can have forgiveness. Hope has all of these things wrapped up into it, because you're hoping that your lifestyle helps motivate someone else to seek more of God.
So this past week during the Help Me Army, that was our focus. Can they, meaning our spouse, see God in us?
Period.
And hope especially when despair is imminent or despair is present, hope makes people take a look at things like, wait a minute, it looks like this, but you're acting like that. It looks like, it sounds like this, but you're responding like that. That's how people see God in our responses. Mm-hmm. They see God in our life. They see God in our actions, our responses. So it's hope that changes a circumstance, because we know, you already know, we're going to go to faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. So if we don't have things we're hoping for, then we can't have faith.
Right.
And so faith comes from within. So I got to believe and have faith, which means I have to intentionally hope, even in a marriage. Even if a marriage is struggling, it was good and then it's not. If it's good and you want it to be better, wherever you are, hope is essential.
It really is. Because I'm glad you just said hope is really essential. Because I was going to say, if your finances aren't good, you're hoping that they will be better.
Yeah.
At some point, sometime. But what are you going to do to make your finances better?
My Lord.
You can hope, but you still, in the midst of hoping, there's something that has to be done.
Oh, that's good.
So in your hoping, is it your attitude changing? Is it your demeanor changing? Is it your prayer life changing? Is it the way you respond changing? Things have to change for you to actually get to be able to see this hope, you know, that we're seeking.
Yeah.
That you're searching for.
Oh, that's good.
And so in the midst of it, what is it that you can do to make yourself eligible or in place or in alignment for the hope that you've been hoping for?
That's interesting, because if we take marriage out of it and we say, do you hope for healing, or do you hope for a raise, or do you hope for, all of a sudden, we're putting a plan together.
Right.
You know, we don't just throw, most of us wouldn't just throw our hands up and say, oh, I'm going to be poor forever. No, we do something.
Right.
We don't wait on someone else. I mean, some people sit around waiting, like, I'm going to win the lottery. That's just laziness. But for the most part, we'll start doing something. We'll start working. We'll start planning. We'll start thinking. We'll align ourselves with different kinds of people. What if we put that kind of hope in our marriage? Because you don't hope for wealth normally when you're already wealthy.
I got a question. So if we put so much effort into like our job, we would never just walk away from my, well, I can't say that because I walked away from plenty of jobs.
Lord,
I just
have mercy.
I was like, didn't care. So I just walk away.
Lord,
but if you're a person that works, you know what I mean?
Most people don't walk away.
Yeah, most people don't. I'm a percentage that deep, okay?
But,
so just walk away. If you do, you have a plan for another job. You have a plan for whatever you want to raise. You plan to work harder. So why isn't it that we take that same work ethic or formula and apply it to our marriage?
Yeah.
So if there was a situation that is happening on your job, you're going to try to figure it out so that you don't either get fired, but you can get promoted, you can get an advancement, you can get whatever it got to be that you need. You're going to try to work that out. It's the same place that we do in our marriage. We have to try to figure it out. What is it that we need to do? I keep saying we, because you can't worry about somebody else on your job. You can't worry about somebody else in America. You got to worry about what can you do? How can you make this a better opportunity, a better place, a better home, a better atmosphere, a better spouse, a better person, a better son or daughter of God? How can you make yourself better that allows someone to see hope, that they can see hope? I saw hope. Like, I literally was able to see that God can change. When I looked at her and I started seeing her, I say it all the time. I actually said to myself, this woman is walking. She's going to be the walking Bible. She's literally going to walk this Bible out. She's going to, she's forgiving me. She's loving me unconditionally. She's not responding to me in negative ways. So now I'm looking at this situation like, my God, this is different. But what it did was it actually gave me some hope that this marriage can change because I'm seeing a difference. I was even doing things to provoke her to see if it was going to be real.
So you are saying hope is contagious.
It is. It really is. Mm. It really is. If you're around someone that believes in and they hope in the best of everything, and you around them enough, you start believing it. You, wow. it starts becoming contagious to you, and you have hope. You know, if you're a person that's can believe in everything, believe hope that anything is possible and all things are possible, and you believe that with the sincerity of your heart, you believe that with your in your soul. When you get around people that are negative, you either can change them or you are conformed to them. So how do you change them? You don't change. You get so radical in it that they can't help either but join you or get away from you.
Wow.
You're not the one that's going. You're the changer. You're not the one that is to run away from the challenge. Okay, my spouse needs hope. How can I help him get hope? How can I help her get hope? I got to operate in hope. I got to show hope. I got to move in hope. I got to be a conduit of hope to them.
I love that.
Like, for real, you
I'm
have
a
to
conduit of hope.
Yeah, it's wow. Like, okay, like this: if you go around somebody and you bless, you contagiously bless. Why you can't be contagiously hopeful?
You can't.
Why you can't walk in hope like no other?
So instead of asking again, is there hope for this marriage? Because I think if we say that so quickly, we've got to quickly be able to pull it down.
Yeah.
Quickly pull it down and say, yes, there's hope because I bring hope. Yeah. I'm a conduit of hope. Yeah. My hope will be contagious.
Hope
is intentional. I start making the statements instead of the question.
Come on.
And I change the whole scenario.
We have to move away from asking these questions to actually being the statement.
We take the statement from the Word of God.
Come on.
And make it our declaration.
Come on.
Because when we make a declaration, we never ask a question.
Okay, if God is the Word and we're made in His image and likeness, then we are the Word because we were spoken into. And so He spoke life into us. So what He says, greater, the Word says, greater is He that is in us than He that is in this world. So there's absolutely nothing that we can't do.
Yeah, that's
there's
good.
Nothing that we can't do. So when you sit there and say, "Well, I can't," or "Well, I don't," you're questioning yourself, you're doubting yourself. But we have to be more of a statement and making a statement and standing on that.
Yeah.
Whatever the Word says that you're able to do, then you're able to do it.
Yes.
And you have to understand that place. But the enemy is what the enemy does. Is constantly talk to you about the negative. He constantly bring up the faults. He brings up the hurt, the pain, the trauma, the disappointment. He brings that. And so what it does is it eats at the hope. And because what happens is it becomes time. Now you go into the time place where you wonder, how long do I have to do it?
Right.
And so that starts to deplete your hope. But you have to go back into God and tap into the and plug into God to get supernatural strength to bring back your hope, to strengthen your hope. It says renew your minds daily. So if we have to renew our mind daily, we have to renew our mind in hope, renew our mind in whatever it is that we need for strength in. We have to do it. It's daily. It's not something that you just do it one time and you good. It's good. No, I work on this every single day.
We have to
work on this every single day. I was one of those ones that wanted to do part-time stuff. Part-time stuff can get you part-time results.
Jesus.
Part-time results. So that's why the marriage good on sometimes, and then it's bad on some other times. It's part-time. When
wow.
you decide to put hope full-time, you decide to put love full-time, you start putting faith full-time, you're going to get full-time results.
God shows up. Because the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. So think about it. When we lose hope, the enemy is hoping our hearts grow sick. So our hearts are sick, meaning we get bitter, we get angry. So everything that kind of comes our way, all of a sudden we see it with anguish. We see it with anger. We see it with bitterness. So it's, we have to pick ourselves up and say, I refuse to be sick in my heart. I refuse to be sick in my heart. That's not going to happen. So I've got to bring something to the table so I'm no longer sick in my heart.
And you know the enemy is trying to get into the heart.
Yep.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you start speaking, well, is there hope for this? It sounds like you falling into depression, falling into the question, despair. Falling into despair, mm-hmm. falling into the quit mode, falling into the slugger mode, falling into the I'm just throwing my hands up. It sounds like that. And when God wants us to go back to, I created you to be a statement. I need you to open your mouth and state what my word says. State who I call for you to be. State my promises. State them. Stand on them. Because that's where you're going to get your strength from.
Yeah.
If you start keeping talking about, is there hope? What scripture is that?
Right. And it does drain you. Because yeah. Then you start pondering things, yeah. questioning yeah. your faith, questioning, can God do something? Questioning. And what we think we're doing is questioning the person.
Yeah.
But in reality, we're questioning God. We're questioning what God has said. Mm-hmm. We're usually questioning what God can do.
Yep.
We're questioning what God can do. And I say this all the time. If you ask someone, they'll say, I know God can, but I don't know if God will. But that really is honestly the same thing as doubt.
Yeah.
It really brings in doubt. So we don't know if God hasn't done it or we don't have enough faith to pull it off. Yeah. Because we're doubting, but saying we won't. Like I used to say, I want God to do this for my marriage and do that for my marriage. And then I would start doubting, and God was like, I can't work under these circumstances. So when God is not at work, yeah, we're going to feel lonely. We're going to feel defeated because God's not there to give us strength. He can't work under the circumstances of doubt.
Wow.
He has to be pushed out. The enemy of doubt has to be pushed out by hope. That's literally what pushes out despair. And hope has to come from within. So when we don't feel like it, see, hope is not something we always feel like doing. Hope has to be something we do intentionally and on purpose. So we get up and go, okay, I'll have hope today. And you say whatever scriptures, whatever declarations, whatever you have to put in front of your mind, your thoughts, your eyes, whatever you put in front of you to change your perspective, because God can't work without faith. God does not work without the faith on the inside of us. So hope is the step toward faith. Hope gives us the ingredients. Hope is the ingredient. We can't have a finished product without the ingredient.
Exactly.
It makes our faith empty. There's no substance to it. So we got to hope on purpose.
It makes you waver.
Yeah, it does.
You'll go in and out of faith.
Yeah.
In and out of believing. And God is like, that's double-minded.
Yeah.
Because you're actually unstable in all of your ways. Yeah. It's either you're going to be hot or cold. If you in one day and out the other day, we got to start paying attention. And one thing God had me doing, and I still kind of, I pay attention to it a lot, is I pay attention to my state. Am I in this place where I'm questioning God or debating with God? Or am I, you said it, I'm doing it. Because this is obedience.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Obedience is better than the word says. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes we just trying to sacrifice, but God said, will you be obedient?
Wow.
You're a sacrifice. You can give up something. You'll give up something. You'll call it a sacrifice.
So we give up despair.
Despair. But will you be obedient to walk this thing out in front of my son or my daughter?
Yeah.
Or forgive when I'm saying forgiving. Or love when I'm saying loving. Or submit, whatever it may be, God wants to see where your obedience is, because that's what's going to bring you, help you with some discipline to be able to walk this thing out every single day. Me walking out my deliverance every single day is very important to me.
It is.
It's very important to me.
And it's very hard.
Exactly.
It's very hard.
It is not an easy task. But one thing, you know, God showed us, you know, when we were, it was like in the beginning when we were walking around the track. It was one of our beginning stages when we were homeless. And God said, yeah, that place. And God says, you know, she is help, but you are the hope. So when you think about is there hope in this marriage?
You have to look for it.
Right. If you know my story, I pray that my walk, my life, my testimony gives you some hope.
And we should look for, so that's a good strategy. We should look for, instead of, because here's what happens. When we think there's no hope, we will start to connect ourselves with people who agree there's no hope.
Yep.
Or look at other people like, oh, they didn't make it and they didn't make it. But what if we spend our time, a group of question marks, what if we spend our time looking for ways to hope, like we look for ways to give up? Because I can tell you, I was looking for ways to give up. Well, what if I did this? And just because he did that. And what about Lord? And what about how come this?
And all I needed was somebody to agree with you.
But if I put that, well, eventually I did, put that energy in finding hope in the word, finding hope in people, finding hope in groups, books, resources, look for the hope.
Look.
Because hope is available. Just like despair is available. You choose.
You make choices every single day.
We do.
We make choices every single day. If you count up how many times you have to make a choice in one day.
Woo!
One day. How many times you got to make a choice?
It's constant.
I promise you, you don't have enough fingers and enough toes to count how many times. But understand this, what decisions are right decisions and what decisions are wrong decisions. There are righteous decisions and there are unrighteous.
My God.
There are kingdom and they're not kingdom. There's no gray area. The times when we have to try to, one minute we Christian or one minute we saved, and the next, I'm telling you, let me tell you what that life does. That life will drop you off in hell. Like it or not, that would be the people that would get before God, and then God says, "Get from before me. I never knew you. I'm telling you, I know this. This was one of my moments of God saying, Jerry, you're gonna have to make a choice. Jesus. You're gonna have to choose life or death. He didn't say choose this little gray area. It's life or death. And so, I flashback of my whole life living, playing safe, being carnal, being in and out, being up and down, knowing the word, not choosing to use the word, knowing scripture, not choosing to read script, to walk in scripture, knowing life, knowing who God really and truly is, and not applying it. Listen.
Jesus.
Listen. There's going to come a time where you're going to have to make a choice.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make a choice. And I hear some of you saying, like, I'm done. This here is horrible. I'm in a messed up situation, and this is horrible, and I'm giving up. I'm quitting. I just don't know. Let me tell you something. That's the enemy talking to you. There's another fight in you. God is never, he didn't make you to quit.
Wow.
He didn't make you to quit. He built in hope in you. It's in you. Everything you need is inside of you. You have to tap into it. You have to tap into it.
That's
He's
good.
Not going to tap into it for you. You have to tap into it.
Oh, that's
He's
good.
Literally giving you everything you need. When he gave you his son and put him on that cross and then raised him from the dead and allow him to come back and do the things that he did
to
give you hope. Wow. He gave you hope right there. And so when God says, when the father said, Gerald, I've given you my son. I've given you the greater.
Wow.
I've given you dominion. I've given you authority. Now you have to work this. You have to do something. You can't be lazy. You can't be giving up because God did not create anything to lose.
My God.
He didn't create you to lose. He gave you dominion. He gave you authority. If he giving you dominion and he gave you authority over every single thing, how do you lose?
So we have to become hope seekers. Literally seeking hope instead of seeking despair. Because before we know it, we're looking for negative. We're seeking despair. Instead, become a hope seeker. Like, I have to every day become a hope seeker. Like,
if you're not,
the door will be open.
You see,
you will find. If you seek hope, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. If you seek hope, it's available. It's just, where are you looking?
Come on.
Where are you listening? Who are you listening to? Be a hope seeker. So get up and seek hope. Look for it. I'm a hope seeker. I think we should make that a declaration. I'm a hope seeker. I have to seek out hope and make a difference in my relationship, make a difference in my finances, make a difference in my ministry, make a difference in my lifestyle. I got to look for it.
Make a statement.
Because if we seek, we will find.
Come on.
That's biblical. We're over here knocking. Hey, let's not seek hope. Let's look for it. Be a hope seeker. And in despair, that's what annihilates it. There's a lot of hope. And when we were praying on King's Prayer, a few weeks ago, that's the spirit we located as a root to things that should not be. As a root to so many things that are pulling us down, our kings down, whomever. And the answer is hope.
It is.
Having confidence and hope.
And we don't, and we really and truly don't want you to lose hope.
Aww.
We don't want you to lose hope. We don't want you to lose hope in your marriage. We don't want you to lose hope in God. We don't want you to lose hope in your faith. We don't want you to lose hope in absolutely anything. We desire for you to seek it.
Yeah.
I mean, seek, look for it. Look for it like you've never looked for it before. If you in a bad place, this is the time where you have to seek more than you ever have before.
Ooh-wee.
That means you have to do something that you've never done before. You can't keep doing the same thing and thinking that you're gonna get a different result.
Right.
You're gonna have to do something that's radical. You're gonna have to do something that's life-changing. You're gonna have to do something that goes beyond your comfort zone or the place that you feel that you can't do.
Right.
Listen, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you think or
ask
or
imagine.
Come on.
That's so amazing. So let's imagine, because God's going to do more than that. That's the whole thing. When you start thinking of things, you start hoping. And then God is like, I can work under these conditions. I can move in that situation because there's hope there. Because there's hope there. We need it more than ever. I know we talk about love a lot. I know we talk about forgiveness a lot. But we don't talk about hope enough. I think we need to talk. I think we have to remind ourselves that hope is imperative for faith to start working. And maybe some of the things we're asking for, a lot of the things we're praying, a lot of things we're looking for, we're holding on for, it's God is waiting on us to hope again.
Yeah.
To hope again. So our hearts aren't sick. So we can have the substance of that makes faith. We've got to have it. So today, we just want to renew your hope.
We want you to go in from a question to a statement.
Yeah.
State that I'm a hope seeker. State that I have hope.
Yeah. In my marriage, I have hope.
I have hope in my marriage.
In my spouse's deliverance, I have hope. Things can turn around. I have hope. Like, what statements can you make right now? Why wait? Make some statements right now. Like, literally open your mouth, type them in, whatever you have to do. But make some statements of hope. I have hope in God's word. I have hope in the promises. I have hope in the visions God gave me. I have hope in my spouse finding me. I have hope in my spouse's deliverance. I have hope that my marriage is turning around. I have hope that my marriage is getting better. I have hope for new intimacy, hope for friendship to be restored. There's so many things I'm intentionally hoping.
Intentionally.
Yeah, it's on purpose.
You have to.
You have to do it on purpose.
And check this out, every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Because the enemy is always trying to deplete your faith and your hope.
Yeah.
He don't want you to have faith in God, and he definitely don't want you to have no hope.
That's so true.
He wants you to be in despair. He wants you to be in panic, worry, and anxiety, because the ultimate goal is to kill, steal, and destroy you. And so whatever is going to kill, steal, and destroy you is what he wants. So if you stay in this place, is there hope? And you stay in the place of a question mark, that means you're playing into his role. You're playing into his role. He wants us to question God. He wants us to question everything about the Bible. He wants us to question it, because if he can give us a seed of doubt, a seed of doubt, then he knows he can sway us.
Yep.
There was one question stated in Genesis at the beginning, and it brought question marks throughout the whole Bible.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, let's make sure. So here's the trick of the enemy. Let's make sure we have more hope in the things that we can do than the things somebody else can do.
Focus on ourselves.
So focus on us. So yes, I may hope for someone else's deliverance, but let's put more on me, because it would be even harder to hope that someone else does something than it is to if I'm going to do something. So I hope I can forgive. I hope I can love differently. I hope I can pray longer. I'm hoping in the word of God for myself.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I hope my spouse does this, and have this long list for somebody else. The hope has to be in our love for the Lord. The hope has to be in our relationship with God. The hope needs to be. So definitely put more on what you hope that you can do personally. And then, definitely, you're still going to hope for your marriage and your spouse. But don't make it so much so that you're staring at them, waiting for them to do something, and it kind of takes us off the hook.
Period.
Put the work on yourself. It actually empowers you, because I can't decide what he's going to do, but I can get up and decide what I'm going to do. So if we're hoping for more compassion, we know how to look for ways to love differently. We're hoping for more wisdom. We can read and study and understand things. All of those things are things that we can actually get up every day and do.
That's it.
Because forgiveness is a decision. Love is a decision. Hope is a decision. Reading and studying, all of these are decisions we can make. And so every time we make a decision, it actually fuels us to hope again. To hope again and again and again. Like, okay, I just did that. I can do something else. If I do all my hoping on something you do, then I stare at you and you don't do it. It gives me more despair.
Right.
But if I hope in something that I have control of, then I get up every day and do something hopeful.
It's a momentum builder.
It is. I love
that. It builds up your momentum, and it builds up your courage. It builds up your boldness. It builds up your faith. It starts to roll inside of you.
It starts to
come up, and you feel you stand differently. You walk differently. You speak differently. When you start having the hope and you see these things are moving in you, and you watching God do these miraculous things in you because you are actually opening your mouth and hoping for these. Yeah. You're all of these statements that we're making, we're hoping that God is going to put. He says, remind me of my word.
Yes,
so God. When you bring him in remembrance of his word, what do you think happens?
Ooh, I love it.
What do you think happens? Especially when you open your mouth, he says, call those things that be not as though they were. As you start speaking these things and you start hoping them, because here's the thing. When you start hoping and you start saying it long enough,
it changes.
You really start believing
it. Yeah. Because faith really comes believing it. Faith comes by hearing. So making these hope declarations and will increase your faith because you hear it.
Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly.
I love it. So I hope we encouraged you to hope again.
Yeah.
We encourage you to hope in the Lord, hope in the things of God, hope and trust in what God is saying. Hope in your relationship, your marriage. Hope in increased faith.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It changes your outlook. So let's change our outlook. Let's shift from the question to the statement. Change our whole outlook and allow others to see the hope in us.
I'm trying to tell you.
Because it really is contagious.
Because if you come out of a question and go into a statement, you come into a whole new place.
It's an empowered place.
I mean, when you say it, you wholeheartedly believe it.
Yeah.
You're not wavering. When you question, that's a waver. You're not really sure. Mm. So you're not mixing everything that you, the word, the faith, the hope. You're not mixing all of that together.
It's hard to believe when you're wavering.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you're straddling the fence on things, that's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable.
So true.
So you need to be on one side or the other. He's like, I'd rather for them to be hot or cold than lukewarm, because he spits out lukewarm. So you have to make a decision. Do I want to be a question mark, or do I want to be a statement? Mm-hmm. I want you to believe that you are a statement. So when you open your mouth and you start stating the word of God, that what you're saying is taking life because it's his word and he is his word. So why would his word return void, empty, or vain when it's him?
It shall accomplish
which he please. So you have to actually open your mouth. That's why the enemy wants you to be hopeless, so you don't open your mouth.
Come on.
Hopeless people don't talk.
That's so true.
They don't.
They
shy
quiet.
Away. They quiet. They go into their own little place. They don't deal with a lot of people. So they try to fade away into the wall.
And when we all know without those declarations, things aren't established. Because things being established, because there's death and life in the power of the tongue. So God wants us to use the authority in our words. And when we allow a deferred hope to set in, you are so right. It causes us to close our mouths.
Yeah.
Wow. So hope again, hope intentionally, and be a hope seeker. Some of you need to seek out places to increase your hope.
Mm-hmm.
It really is important. That's why we do what we do. Once he gives the hope, then it's like, okay, now I gotta intentionally put the work in. And that's where I come in. Now, I represent more of the work, help. And help requires work.
Yep.
Because change requires work. But when we have hope, it makes the work doable, enjoyable, feasible. All those words are imperative to the journey. It's so important.
You find things that's going to motivate you.
Yeah.
Things that push you, drive you, things that you do. We do it in everything else.
So let's do it in our marriage.
Yeah. Do a marriage. What you call a board?
A marriage vision board.
A vision board. And then you start speaking.
We just have a family vision board. We got to make a new one soon.
You start speaking into it. And you start speaking.
They work.
You do a visual one. You know, we start talking about imagining. You start imagining this thing, and I don't mean imagine it and with witchcraft, but I'm talking about imagine what God is able to do in you
personally,
to change, to be a person that can change or help assist someone else to come out of whatever, because that's the ultimate job as an individual, as a child of God, as a servant of God. It's our job that our life mimics God enough that people are drawn to the God that's in us. So if we can't draw our spouse to us
without a word,
and because how about this, they know you better than the people on the street know you. So it has to be authentic.
Yeah.
It cannot be wishy-washy. It cannot be fake. It cannot be in and out, because in and out, it makes you say, is there hope for this marriage? If it's hope, what are you doing?
Wow.
What are you doing? Not what the person, because 9 times out of 10, we say, what's going on? The first thing comes out is about the other person.
Oh, so true.
It's never about, I'm doing this. I'm saying this. I'm acting like this. Nobody comes to that place. They don't come saying that. The first thing they go is such and such.
Can you believe for real? Such and such is happening?
But when is it going to be a time when someone going to say, well, listen, I did this and this. I did this. This is my part. Mm. This is what I did. Because you're trying to help get yourself better so you can be able to help someone else
That's
get better.
So true.
But if you can't acknowledge what you have done or what you're doing, then
how you're responding,
how are you going to actually help someone else?
That's big.
How's that going to work?
That's big.
How's that going to work? So first of all, you get yourself delivered, get yourself healed, get yourself restored and reset back with God, and then allow God to do exactly what he said he'll do in anybody else. What you thought was impossible, what other people been talking about, well, he been gone for 5 years, he ain't never coming back, you need to go on about your business. But God says, I need you to stand. And then, okay, now we use the word stand, and he says, I need you to stand in the gap. You just put stand there, but this means stand in the gap. I need you to stand in the gap. What are you going to do? It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time, because now it's a work on you. Because if God says flip the switch and have a phone call to come and you ain't ready, but you was in despair, but you were saying we were playing hopeless. But if you open your mouth and you start declaring statements that this marriage is healed. This I'm a hope seeker. I'm a conduit of love. I'm a conduit of forgiveness. I'm a conduit of whatever, wisdom and knowledge. And so you start stating who you are. So when the time comes, it's in you.
Yeah.
It's you done build this thing up. You got a reservoir of information and knowledge of who you are. So when the time comes,
ready.
You got something to work with. You ain't depleted. You ain't sitting over there with a woe is me.
Amen.